Welcome to FX in Focus, where our mission is to celebrate the talent and ideas that contribute to the global B2B payments industry. Join us as we ask Corpay cross-border leadership pressing questions and capture their vision on a variety of topics. I'm Christina Markovich, Global Content and Communications Specialist, and you're listening to this week's episode, the 101 on ISO 222, frictionless data collection directly from the source. As markets shift, businesses big and small need to keep up, so there's always a lot to talk about, and we'd love to hear your feedback and suggestions, so please email us at podcast@corpay.com. The opinions expressed on FX in Focus are those of the speakers only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of Corpay or Fleetcor Inc. Today, I'm speaking to Navneet Dhami, Director of Product Management, and Sanjeev Jain, Senior Product Manager at Corpay Cross-Border. In today's episode, we talk about how important data is to everything we do on a day-to-day basis, from our personal life to business or work. The importance of collecting the data straight from the source, keeping it unadulterated or untouched, and delivering it in its original form is extremely critical for the overall success of that payment and ensuring it has a frictionless journey. So let's get started here. Thank you for joining us today, Sanjeev and Navneet, both of you. Sanjeev, you are on the front ends with clients and partners. What kind of concerns or pain points are clients experiencing now?
Thank you, Christina, for having me today. There are three major concerns that I hear from clients on a regular basis with cross-border payments. The delay in payments, payment rejections or returns, and difficulty with payment reconciliation. Before I get into the details of these issues, let me quickly walk you through a basic payment run. Consider a buyer ABC based out in the US importing goods from a vendor XYZ in Indonesia. The buyer ABC is our client and collects vendor XYZ banking details and provides us the same. When our client wants to make the payments for multiple invoices, they tell us the amount to be paid and provide us some information on the references for this payment. Let's look at the different pain points arising from the above process. First, as the bank details for the vendor XYZ are provided to us by our client, the potential of error at several places. First, data is inaccurately captured by our client. Data is inaccurately provided to us, or data is just stale. And when the beneficiary banking details are either inaccurate or incomplete, payments may be held and can take longer for processing as the team has to manually verify the information and reconcile the same. Second, inaccuracy in beneficiary banking details, as they are not directly captured from the source, can lead to payment rejections from the beneficiary bank and increase the payment return. This is one of the major reasons for payment return. Apart from this, the other reason are the beneficiary bank account is closed. Lastly, the current payment can carry limited details with payments, and hence, when a client is making payments for multiple invoices, they can't send the references for all the invoices with the payment. This leads to clients exchanging emails offline with their vendors on what the payment is for and which all invoices are paid. This led to countless hours wasted, both for our clients and their vendors, on payment reconciliation.
Thank you for clarifying what our clients are looking for now and expressing that. How is banking data typically collected for payments now?
So there's several ways clients provide banking details of their vendors to their payment providers. This include, but it's not limited to, banking application, the mobile application. In our case, it is usually a corporate cross-border application, mobile application through API or direct integration with ERP. There are also times when clients email this information or provide the same through phone calls or text. Having said this, expectation from clients' perspective is to provide minimal information and probably just once. The expectation is that different systems should communicate with each other through APIs or some other protocol and share information as well as enrich data based on the limited information provided.
Okay, so this one's for Navneet here. What does it mean for the institution collecting the information?
Thanks for having me, Christina. I think it's very important to kind of establish, you know, what date, what role it plays. So in the modern financial landscape, data is not just an asset. It's a foundation upon which institutions build their success. Those that embrace it, the power of data, that is, will thrive in the ever-evolving, dynamic world of finance and everything to do with payments. And those who don't will unfortunately struggle to keep pace with the competition. I completely do agree with some of the very critical points Sanjeev has outlined. that collecting data from the source is key. As consumers of data, it is important for us to have complete confidence in the data, meaning that it's coming from a trusted source, since that generally speaks to the accountability and accuracy of the data. Now, to understand what importance does collection in itself play, we need to understand or focus on two roles, or essentially one hybrid role, which is of a consumer of the data and a producer. Now, almost all institutions in today's age play both of these roles, where in some capacity, one ingests data and then either processes it and produces it in a way. There are three main steps in getting data ready for further transmission: refining, verifying, and processing data while maintaining its integrity. The biggest liability and responsibility in this process is to stay true to the authenticity of the data. This simply means passing on the data as received, and if any refinement or cleaning is needed, then keeping it to as minimal as possible with the focus of creating a frictionless journey for the payments.
Okay, wow. It's really great to hear the process of how data collection happens. Thank you. How is the payments industry making changes to ensure it is collecting and transmitting good quality data?
So Prisna, we all believe that getting data directly from the source has immense value in alleviating some of the pain points that we just discussed with cross-border payments. Let me park this question for Navneet on how the payment industry is progressing on that front. From corporate perspective, we have recently launched a product called Connection, where our clients can invite their vendors to our applications to provide their banking details. This helps us in getting data directly from the source and help in reducing the issues with data loss or data corruption in transit. And this helps in mitigating a few of the concerns that we discussed. We're also integrated with a few of top ERPs, such as Microsoft Dynamics and Sage Intacct, to directly sync data between applications to further reduce the manual error of replicating data on multiple applications. Thereby, only one platform becomes the source of truth for certain data points. For clients who are not in connection, not on connection, we are pushing hard in removing the manual touch points for capturing this information, the information that they provide us via email, text, or calls. We're encouraging our clients to use our application or API to reduce this manual errors. So yeah, let's see what Navneet has to say about the payment industry. How are they progressing?
Thanks, Sanjeev. We do live in a very digitalized environment. And I think, to be successful in the environment that we function in, it's very important to keep up with the industry market trends, where the industry generally is moving. One of the biggest things to happen recently is the movement of ISO 22022 messaging standard into the coexistence period from March 20th this year by SWIFT. And I do think that this is a major milestone in the payments industry because it opens up a very big opportunity when it comes to data.
Absolutely. Wow. Okay. So you dropped a big word there. Let's go back. And can you explain to us what is ISO 22022?
So ISO 22022 is an international messaging standard for electronic data exchange between financial institutions, payment systems, and other financial entities. It facilitates a common language through its message format for financial transactions such as payments and securities. And this enables the ability to send more structured data, but simply means the ability to send more information. For example, purpose of payment, invoice details, remittance information, etc. There is more space and ability to catalog the data in a clean way for all parties involved, be that sender of the information, intermediary, or the receiver. So this has been in development since 1990s, but over the decades has been updated several times. The first version of this standard was published in 2004 by the ISO, the International Organization for Standardization, and IEC, which is the International Electronic Commission. But the most recent version was published in 2013.
Okay, interesting. So what are the main benefits of ISO 22022?
I think ISO 22022 will be a game changer both for clients and financial institutions. Let me dwell a little bit on how it could benefit clients. While there are several benefits for clients with ISO 22022, let me talk about a few of the important ones. First, ISO 22022 provides faster and more reliable payments processing. ISO 22022 standardizes financial messages and creates one standard for payment processing. This will allow financial community to speak the same language and facilitate interoperability. This has helped to reduce errors and delays in processing payments, thus providing faster and more reliable payment processing. Second, it increases the richness of data. ISO 20022 allows for more detailed and structured data to be included with payments, such as invoice references and other notes. This enables both the sending party and the receiving party to more easily reconcile and track their payments, reducing any errors and saving them time with the payment reconciliation. Thirdly, it provides cost efficiency and improves the customer experience. The standard will drive automation among its members, which will lead to better customer experience and reduce the need for manual intervention and speed up the overall payment process. Additionally, the less manual intervention will lead to better cost efficiency. Last but not the least, it will improve the payment tracking experience. ISO 20022 provides better transparency and traceability throughout the payment process, enabling clients to track the status of their payments in real time. This can further help improve cash flow management and reduce the risk of payment delays for clients.
I totally agree with you on that, Sanjeev. I think as a consumer and producer of payment messages, the benefits that you've outlined are, you know, on point. They are very critical to what we do on a day-to-day basis. Let's take common language for an example. By speaking the same language, systems from different institutions that could be sitting closer to each other or continents apart can talk to each other in perfect harmony. One mantra that is often used in context of data is garbage in, garbage out. And that simply means that the quality of the output generated by a computer program or data analysis done by a human is directly related to the quality of the input data. So if the input data is inaccurate, incomplete, then the conclusion or the decisions based on that data will also be flawed. Therefore, it's important to prioritize data quality and ensure that the data is being used, as accurate, complete, and relevant to the task at hand. Now, let's put this in context to ISO and what it also allows institutions or businesses to do. One is, you know, as we've spoken about, being able to process things faster, being able to overall reduce the number of times a payment has to be manually touched. One of the byproducts, I would say the most important thing that will happen is the improvement that this will have in compliance with the regulatory requirements globally. Since the format is quite structured to facilitate a dedicated section or field to house critical regulatory data, the identification of potential money laundering or fraud attempts will hopefully become rather easy. On the other hand, maintaining the integrity of the data has always been a tricky job, given the limited space. So the operations team at various levels and institutions have always had to intervene most of the time, which I'm hoping that it can be, you know, considerably reduced with this new format. This will help in complying with anti-money laundering and counter-terrorism financing regulations. What this will also minimize is the overall friction in a payments journey, which simply means that the need to manually intervene or hold payments to ask for more data will considerably reduce, thereby increasing the payment speed. And the third thing that I would like to highlight is the overall reduction, which is something that Sanjeev touched base on as well. One of the other advantages or benefits of this will be the reduction of overall cost of processing payments for businesses, simply because if the payment doesn't need to be held at any point and manually intervened with, it becomes less costly as fewer hands and eyes are touching it, creating internal scale at many levels.
Okay, this all sounds great and very promising, actually, and I'm sure our listeners are intrigued as well. What are the timelines for this adoption and what has the industry response been so far?
Sure. So the industry is quite excited about the ISO standard. It has been a long time coming with the existing challenges that come with the SWIFT message format that is widely used for cross-border payments and is quite limited and restrictive when it comes to how much data can be housed in the existing format. Even though the industry is excited and the adoption in itself has mixed responses, quite a lot of market infrastructures such as SWIFT, Fedwire, Target2, Australian High Value Payment System, and New Zealand High Value Payment System have already adopted ISO standard, whilst others are still gearing up to be compliant in the coming months or years, such as Bank of England aiming to migrate the CHAP system for GBP in June 2020, Nigeria and Ukraine planning to migrate their RTGS systems in April 2023. Financial institutions do have a similar story, where some are already ready to receive and send the new standard messages, MX messages as they are known, whilst others are partially or not ready at all. SWIFT in specific has mandated its members to adopt the standard by November 2025. It has just moved into the coexistence period, as earlier discussed, which allows the members to function on both the standards. So the ISO and the existing Finn messaging standard. The idea is to give members enough time to adopt the new standard, with the deadline being in 2025.
Okay, this seems like a massive shift in how payments are transmitted currently. What are some of the changes that you see with the adoption of this new standard?
Kisa, let me say that change is difficult and takes time. From the client's perspective, we've been trying extremely hard to move clients to use a self-serve platform to tackle the issue of capturing data directly from the source and transmitting the data unadulterated. But we're happy and quite successful with the adoption of technology and the pattern that we are seeing. We still need to do more to educate our clients. From the industry perspective, I see three major challenges. Firstly, the high cost of implementation. Changing the way institutions have been for decades is not an easy task. This is a global challenge that requires huge time, resources, and IT investment. Secondly, interoperability is a bigger challenge. Achieving this 100% means every system, irrespective of region and country, will need to speak the same language and comprehend data in the same way. It's easier said than done. Lastly, I would say the complexity of achieving the same. The standard is quite complex given its quite extensive structure, resulting in being difficult to implement and adopt 100% accurately. It will need to go through multiple rounds and then build and test within the community before going live.
I totally agree with Sanjeev on this. I don't think it's as simple as it seems. There are a lot of technicalities, resources, and time and cost investments which will be required from this process. Changing how an institution, you know, talks to another is no simple task at all, since this is a 180-degree shift from how things are done today. There is no doubt in my mind that this won't be a one-and-done process. As Sanjeev mentioned earlier, we'll have to build, test, and, you know, that cycle's going to go on until to a point where we ourselves or the institutions that are trying to do this exercise are confident in going live with the ISO adoption. The good thing is that SWIFT does facilitate and promote community testing, which plays an extremely important part in the adoption and has, for the time being, placed a message translator to ensure that businesses aren't impacted immediately after going live with the coexistence.
I find all this quite informational and important, and I'm sure our listeners do too. Where does Corpay stand on this right now?
Sure. So as it relates to Corpay, we have already finished our readiness testing, which means we are actively out there with the ability to ingest MX messages. We are relying and currently using the message translator. Essentially, what that means is at any point Corpay is in receipt of an MX message, SWIFT translates that to the empty messages that we and our system is currently used to. So our current BAU or our day-to-day doesn't get affected. In terms of what the ISO adoption in general looks for us, we are very excited, just like some of our partners and our counterparts, to adopt this new messaging standard, but are very aware that it's not an easy thing to do. We do require a lot of planning and execution on our end, and currently we are looking to take on this challenge sometime in 2024-2025, definitely before the mandated timeline by SWIFT, which is November 2025.
I can't agree more with Navneet on how excited we are about this change and how it's going to make a difference in the lives of our clients. Corpay on its part has been working on multiple initiatives and have recently launched products to move in the directions to make payments more seamless, faster, and in a cost-effective way. This includes our recent product launches such as Connections, integration with ERPs such as Microsoft Dynamics and Sage Intacct. We are fully committed to solving this problem for our clients and happy to say that we are moving in the right direction.
Well, that's very encouraging to hear. Thank you for the educational podcast episode here. I hope our listeners found it as educational and informative as I did. And thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Christina, for having us. And Navneet, it was great hearing from you.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Christina, for hosting us.
That was Navneet Dhami, Director of Product Management, and Sanjeev Jain, Senior Product Manager at Corpay Cross Border. Thank you for tuning into today's episode. If you want to keep up with more news and views, make sure to subscribe wherever you're tuning in from. FX in Focus is a podcast written and produced by Corpay, a Fleetcor company. The opinions expressed on FX in Focus are those of our guests only and do not necessarily reflect the views of Corpay or Fleetcor Inc. To submit questions or comments or to recommend a topic, please email us at podcast@corpay.com.